In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The blind man who had been standing by the wayside and begging alms, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, could not be kept quiet. He kept calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What was he asking for? It's a beggar, right? Beggars ask for alms. Have mercy on me. The word in Greek, eleion, often once was commonly used to refer to giving alms. To give alms was to be merciful. When the blind man asks Jesus for mercy, he is asking for alms, but he is asking for alms of a kind that only Jesus, Son of David, the Son of God, can give him. Jesus knows what we need as human beings. The question is, do we know what we need? And in this simple example of the blind man, Jesus needs the man to ask him for what he needs. He doesn't just assume, "Oh, well, it's a blind man. I have the power, and so I will give him his sight." He asks participation on the part of the blind man, that he would ask the one who can give what no one else can give. And the man asks, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus fulfills his plea. During the Divine Liturgy, we say again and again, "Lord, have mercy." We sing it over and over. It's sung in all of the languages of the Orthodox faith. "Lord, have mercy. Lord, give me what only you can give." We are asking alms. We're not asking for worldly help in our project. We're asking for that which only God can give. In our prayer, if we ask God for the things that we believe that we need, and our heart is tied to a love of the world and a desire to be able to live in the world and function as if there were no God except to help us in our project of living independently in the world, we don't know what we need if we're asking God for those things. We should be asking God not for the things that the world can give one way or another. We should be asking God for the things that only He can give. We are created, each one of us, and given a holy life to live. But we can't live that holy life without asking God for His mercy, for Him to be merciful and give us the alms of the things that we need in order to be able to live a holy life. If we ask for those things, God will give them to us. If they are truly what we want. What we need is a clean heart. What we need is a new heart. What we need is a heart that loves heavenly things and not the things that the world can give. What we need is a heart that loves the things that will enable us to be like Christ, that will enable us to be humble and merciful and loving with God's love, not with the kind of love that we have for the things of the world, not the kind of love that we often even have for other human beings, a love that satisfies our desires, a love that satisfies our needs. Our relationship to another human being is not meant to be a contract to satisfy our mutual needs and desires. Our relationship with other human beings in marriage and between friends and neighbors and all of the people that we meet is meant to be a relationship where we change and become more through our transaction, our relationship with that person, become more like Christ. And in order to be able to do that, we have to be asking God to be merciful to us, to give us something that we can only get from Him. We live our lives within the church. This is something that in America is almost never mentioned, and there are historical reasons that have to do with the West as to why it's so seldom mentioned. But it seems as though we have reached the point that we have got to realize that we as Orthodox live our lives within the church, not the church as an institution, we quickly say, not the church as an organization, but the church as that reality of common life that human beings are enabled to live together through Christ, that before He came we could not live together, we were separated from one another and divided. No matter how much we wanted to be good and holy men and women, we were not able to do it because we are separated from one another and we were separated from God by the fear of the presence of death in the world that sets us in competition against one another like the animals are in competition with one another. But Christ died on the cross, destroyed the fear of death, arose from the dead in our humanity, and shares that humanity and His divinity through His humanity and ours, so that we can live the holy lives that each of us is made to live. But we can't live that life without His mercy. We can't live that life without receiving things that can only come from God, things that can change us and make us more like Him. When we come to God, we are beggars, like the beggar on the road who called out to Christ to give Him what only He could give. We are beggars before God for His mercy. And that doesn't sit well with us. We would like to go in prayer and ask God for the things that we need to be able to go out and live an independent life. There are stories about lamps that you can rub and the genie comes out and it fulfills your wish. And always the wish turns out badly because people don't know what to ask for. Christ God is not the genie of the cross, where we rub the cross and make a wish, and God fulfills our wish. And lets whatever bad thing is going to happen to us, even though He knows if He gives us what we ask, it's going to turn out bad. That's the kind of story that you get within the life of another faith. But God does not fulfill our wishes, our desires, the things that we think that we need because we ask for them. He is more merciful than that. He is merciful in the sense that He will not give us things that will make us less like Him, make us more like the world, that will drive us into despair. We have to ask God for the things that we need. And during the course of our lives, hopefully we learn that the things that we need most of all are the things that only God can give. We need to change. We need a clean heart. We need a new heart. But we have to truly want that more than anything else, more than the world. And then He will answer those prayers. If we are persistent, like the man by the side of the road, and won't be quieted by other people or forces of the enemy, negative feelings, preferences for the world, passions that tell us, don't ask for that. That will be the end of us. Those passions, those desires, they will only grow quiet if we are persistent in our prayer, asking God for that mercy, those alms of His goodness and His transformation and the opportunities to work out that transformation in the world. That may be very difficult. That has to be what we desire more than anything else. This spiritual life that we're describing is not something that can take place individually and alone. It can only take place within the communion that we all share at the chalice and during the living of our lives in the world. We live our lives within the womb of the church. We know that whenever we sin, whenever we miss the mark, whenever we do something that is unworthy of Christ, it wounds the body of Christ. It wounds everyone else. None of us can do something that is wrong in private. It does give us the experience of isolation and separation, as though no one is watching, no one can see but us. But the reality is that every time we do something like that, we hurt the other members of the body of Christ. We wound the body of Christ. We are in this spiritual life and this effort of spiritual life together as members of the body of Christ, the church. We live our spiritual lives within the womb of the church, just as we once lived our lives within the womb of our mother, receiving life from beyond ourselves, from moment to moment. And if that source is cut off, then we no longer receive that life, because it comes from God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. That is a description of our life as members of the body of Christ, the church. We live within that sustaining womb, not out in the world as ranging, roving individuals, wild human beings who ask God for something outside of all relationship to other human beings that God has established as this new life in common that was not possible before His incarnation, the cross, the resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the beginning of this new life in common at one with God that we share. It is only within that life, that common shared life, that the things that we learn about as Orthodox when we first become Orthodox are possible. It's not resource material that is available to the universe at large. Oftentimes, that's how it's treated. Not just by those outside of the faith, but even by those of us who are members of the Orthodox Church, as though these are all resources that are available to us, so that we can continue to live our individual lives, making the effort of self-salvation now, because after all, isn't there synergy, on our own, isolated from the rest of the church, having the sense that when we sin, it is my problem to confess so that God will forgive it. And maybe I will be better next time. There is no thought how we have hurt the rest of the body of Christ. This is a lack that we have as Orthodox in America because of our historical reaction against the events of the church in the West, the Reformation against the Roman Catholic Church as an institution. Church, how can we say that word and not think of the understanding of that word that our society has given us? It seems almost impossible. However many times we repeat what our understanding of our oneness with one another, with Christ, that can't be separated. Examples abound in the scriptures. If you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you, because my forgiveness of you cannot be separated from your forgiveness of others, because we are meant to be one. And maybe a quick footnote, just to remind ourselves, it doesn't just apply to other members of the body of Christ. We are all created as human beings, and we are responsible to treat others as though they were becoming members of the body of Christ, so as not to exclude them. It's not the old Jewish situation where you owe the truth only to members of your own tribe. That's not why God came into the world and established this common life that we call the church, this new Eden. Eden was a small place. It was meant to grow, and the whole of the earth was meant to become part of Eden. And the church is the same. It is open to entrance from the outside on the part of those who desire oneness with God, as it is only fully available here. If it weren't available at all outside, then how would anyone ever know to come in this direction? But when they come, They must see that that common life, that shared life, that can't be lived without asking God for His mercy, for what can only come from Him, they must be able to see that that life is being lived here amongst us. Today is the Sanctity of Life Sunday. I can imagine someone calling it Right to Life Sunday. But we call it Sanctity of Life Sunday. When a human being is conceived in the womb, they begin to live a human life within the womb. A holy human life. A life that is sacred. A life that belongs to God. Not to us, not even to them. Our lives do not belong to ourselves. Our lives belong to God so that we can be fulfilled by communion with Him, so that we can receive the mercy, the food that we need from Him, from the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. That means the church. We live within the womb of the church and we receive this nourishment as members of the body of Christ, the church. We don't have rights before God. We can't come to our prayers and come as though we were asking for our due, for a decent worldly life, as though we had the right to a certain level, at least, of the good things of the world, and God owes them to us. Those are the things of the world. They are not the things that we receive as members of the body of Christ, desiring to have a new heart, a clean heart. The one who is within the womb does not have the right to life. There's a difference between that understanding, that political understanding, that extends political rights of inclusion into a political body, even to those within the womb. Our understanding is different. It's not because the unborn have rights. We don't have rights except as members of a political body. As members of the body of Christ, we have no rights before God. We don't have the right to a positive answer from Him on anything. We don't understand what it's really like inside of us. We think we know ourselves, but we don't know ourselves as God knows us. He will give us as much of what we need that we ask for. If we ask for what we actually need, He will give as much as we can bear to deal with at any point in time. And so we have to be constant in our prayer and our desire for a clean heart, a new heart, so that we can live the life that God created us to live. That's what the blind man was asking for. He was asking for sight so that he could live his life. And that's what we ask God for. We ask God for the things that only He can give, the things without which we cannot live a holy life. That's our understanding of things. And it is a different understanding than the understanding of the meaning of life that you find anywhere outside of the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.